Welcome to The Odds Couple, a presentation of ESPN Chicago. The Odds Couple is brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino Las Vegas. The Odds Couple. Here's your host, Mike North and Carmen DeFalco.
Welcome into your weekend. Time for another episode of The Odds Couple, presented by Circa Resort and Casino. Mike North and Carmen DeFalco rolling into an opening weekend of baseball for you, plus Final Four action, as well, at the very least, we'll have the Final Four all set by the end of the weekend, and the Illini are just a game away from playing in the Final Four for the first time in a long time as they advance with the upset win over Iowa State last night. So much to get after today. Glad to be with you, Mike. We're going to try to preview all these games, a little bit on tomorrow's action in the regional finals, and we got a lot to get after on this Friday, as we always do.
Yeah, we got something to cheer about a little bit with Illinois. How you doing, everybody? And, Carm, good to talk to you. Our producer, Eric Ostrowski, got a lot of stuff going on today. But Illinois, like I said last week, I think on most of the people that live here, we've talked about not watching DePaul. Yeah. How many people watched Illinois this year? And yet you're seeing now, them with Shannon, who looks really, really good. He's a next-level type of guy. Who's going to help him out? I think they play very good D. They play an up-paced game, but they can also play a little slow if they have to. Underwood has an opportunity here to get it done. I got to be honest with you. Iowa State has never done me any favors in football, basketball. I mean, they're a wrestling school. That's what they really are, folks. At the end of the day, they always get to a certain point, and they can't get it done. So I thought Illinois had an opportunity here. I also said at the beginning of this tournament, my two bets were Denver Nuggets and UConn, and I'm not changing off that.
Yeah.
And to be honest with everybody, I'm riding Clemson. I gave them out on the bonus pick last week.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And then, so I was 1-2. Now, Carm, I think you were you 2-0 or 1-1?
1-1. Yes.
Yeah. And we did okay. And we're hanging in there because yesterday I got my head handed to me a little bit. Thank God for UConn. But Arizona, they do it to me all the time.
Man.
They're sort of like Texas, they just can't quite. I mean, Lou Dawson ain't walking through that door. And then you got the other games. Alabama has been a complete surprise. I mean, Clemson, I took it, graded out well, and I bet every game that they played.
Nice.
But I got to be honest with you. Clemson and Alabama, it just goes to show you get a couple breaks. Alabama could have lost their last game to Grand Canyon, and then they both came limping in to the tournament, and now look where they're at.
And now one of those, a four seed or a six seed out of that region will be going is Clemson and Alabama pull the upsets yesterday, and now they will meet for a chance to go to the Final Four. You were right about Iowa State. I think they're going to rue that slow start that they got off to. It really kind of sunk the Cyclones. The Illini let them hang around far too long with all the missed free throws. You talk about what would have been something that would have haunted the Illini had they blown that game. I mean, shooting 51% from the line, my goodness. Terrence Shannon was fantastic, like Mike said, and he's an 80% free throw shooter, but he was 5 of 10. Now, luckily, it did not come back to haunt the Illini. They haven't been this far, of course, since 05 in the run to the championship game. They're running into a buzzsaw, it would appear, tomorrow. They are 8.5-point underdogs. Now, you can only bet that if you're doing it the old school way with a bookie, or if you go to one of the brick-and-mortar shops. You cannot bet Illinois, which is silly, and we've talked about it. But if you're using the apps, you will not be able to bet Illinois. Obviously, in the state of Illinois, it's kind of silly. But they are 8.5-point underdogs against the Huskies team, Mike, that has ripped off 10 straight. They're 9-1 against the spread in those 10 games. The Huskies look like a freight train.
Well, of course they do. And I heard somebody say today that I heard Super 70s guy, who I love on Twitter, show a picture of the UNLV guy, say none of these teams would beat that team. Duke beat them the next year. And I think UConn could play Grant Hill, this UConn team. They can get you in every way you can.
Yeah.
First, they do the right thing. Unlike North Carolina, who I bet yesterday, they should be ashamed of themselves. Hubert Davis, you let a guy go 0 for 9 from the 3, 4 for 20 from the field, and you got Bangkok under there, an All-American. He's so good, he's doing commercials on TV. He only sees the ball. He goes 8 for 18. You should have been feeding him like they feed the big kid, like I said from the beginning of the tournament. That ball always goes inside first if UConn, if they go to half court, and then he kicks it out or makes the right play. That underrated kid, that center. Geigert, I think his name is. He's terrific.
R.J. Davis, as Mike said, was 4 of 20.
I know. You were looking up the stats to see if what I was saying was true. What kind of coach lets a guy keep doing that? I would tell. I would have said, listen, you're not doing any more of this tonight.
0 of 9 from distance,
You cannot
Mike.
Let a guy keep shooting like that, Carm.
Hubert Davis
doesn't even say anything.
And you can't take R.J. Davis out of the game, obviously, but what do you do?
But you got to get it inside.
Yeah, you do. You
got the All-American down there.
You're right, and you're supposed to be trusting a veteran like R.J. Davis. It's to see him go 0 for 9, he's a 40% three-point shooter. It's the first time all year, Mike,
and he
didn't make
stop.
A three.
And he wouldn't stop shooting. And Hubert Davis, shame on you.
Yeah.
You have that game should have been yours. But let the center dictate.
Yeah.
Get it in first. At some point in the second half, I coached for 6 years. Tom Less, one of the guys I admire the most in the coaching profession, the guy I coached with for 6 years, would have said, knock it off.
Yeah. At some point, I see exactly what you're saying. And so much of college basketball
I bet him. I saw what was happening, Carm.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's a bad game for Hubert Davis, who's not exactly a wizard at in-game stuff anyway.
Yeah, and a bad game for Hubert, bad game for RJ, obviously, to go ice cold like that. He'd made a 3 in 41 straight games going back to last year.
He wanted to make
9.
It 42 because he was worried about himself and not about winning the basketball game. It became apparent.
Yeah.
I mean, do you know they were, I think, something like 2 of 15 from 3 in the second half?
That sounds about right.
2 of 16?
It sounds right. It was ugly. It was just a cold shooting night.
Center?
Yeah,
sorry. I'm a little emotional.
No, well, I get it. Yeah, a little money on NC. I get it.
Well, I mean, I would be mad even if I didn't. As a coach.
As a coach, I know.
What are you doing?
I know. And
selfish.
Then, it might be time to ride Mike's hot hand here with Clemson. As Clemson advances, Alabama advances. Clemson's getting 3.5 again as the sixth seed against Alabama tomorrow night. Nobody believes in him. The total in that game is 164.5. How about that?
I thought I heard when I said Clemson last week with you and Yurko, I thought I heard like holding back laughter. I thought. But then there was just some static on the line.
That's all it was. Yeah, it's
because Carm did text me, so I know Carm took the game.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Hey,
I was like, nice call. We watched it. We watched the rest of that game at the bar. I was like, nice call, Mikey. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
It might be time to keep riding Clemson right now.
Yep. Why get off them? But what do you do about Alabama?
I don't know. I liked the way Clemson's played the last two games. And listen, I won't pretend to be able to tell you a ton about Clemson, but watching them last Friday, watching them last night, I like what I've seen out of Clemson.
Oh, yeah.
I really do.
I mean, you look at some of these, and then, I mean, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, it's an embarrassment of riches between the NCAA. We got golf going on today. Scottie Scheffler, I mean, he opened up at plus 400 to win a tournament, and he's already, I mean, doing well, coming in second place. Then you got baseball, my guy Crochet.
How about that? Pretty.
Well, you know what? I want to say hi to Nicky, my boy Nicky Lopez, who was our bad boy on the licorice softball team.
That's awesome.
His father, Bobby, was our third baseman. I watched him yesterday. We're rooting for him like he's our very own, and he is.
That's pretty
but
great.
They are, it's a Punch and Judy team.
Yes.
And, but I was encouraged by their play. Don't go off one game. I'm not saying they're going to knock anybody down and wow anybody. But I saw a little bit more focus. Now, I will say this also. I would have gotten rid of Moncada. I don't care. You can't have that guy hanging around with his different color padding, his little individualistic stuff, his pouting, his not hustling. I mean, this guy has been the biggest disappointment, and I think a lot of White Sox fans feel the same way.
Oh, I think so.
He's not a family favorite anymore.
No.
We like people that play hard. You don't play hard. You're down in the dumps. You swing at the same pitches all the time. I watched you yesterday. You got your lime green padding on. We had a kid like that when I coached in high school. It didn't last long. Get in the right uniform with everybody else because it's very noticeable with the lime green when you suck.
When you stink, it makes it even more noticeable.
When you absolutely want to stand out, you stink.
The best part of that game was Crochet, like you said. I mean, that was terrific. If he, look, his stuff has always been great. He breezed through the minor league system after being a first round pick. He was so good in college. He barely needed the minor leagues. He was helping the White Sox at the early stages when that championship window was opening. It didn't last long, but I mean, he was already up helping that team. And then, unfortunately, these last couple of years, it's just been injuries that have sidetracked him.
Well,
but the talent is there, Mike.
Listen, the last 5 years that I've been doing radio has been some of the most disappointing years in Chicago history for me. Number one, we got rid of Mitch and we took Fields. That whole thing from Mitch to Fields has been an aggravation. Now we got the Blackhawks. They're back with another lawsuit from 2010. Then we got the White Sox with the nonsense that's been going on over there. And then the Bulls.
The Bulls are
And then on top of it, oh, it was so touchy. I got to say this. The announcer wasn't bad yesterday. They replaced the other guy, in my opinion. I was never a fan. Benedetti?
Jason Benedetti.
Jason? Whatever.
Jason Benedetti, yep.
I was never a big fan, but here's what I would like the upper front office to do. Leave the kid alone. Quit making him ask Steve Stone questions that are insulting. Quit trying to teach the game to adults when you're basically saying, hey, Steve, when you're a batter, how do you know they're in a shift? Hey, guess what? It's a scouting report, and you look up, number one. Hey, Steve, what do you think after the pitcher gets in trouble? What do you think he's saying to him? Well, he's trying to settle him down. These are all stuff that you should not boggle kid's mind up with, because Jerry Reinsdorf once told me, we like the broadcast, but teach the game. You just do the game, because the kid's not bad.
And you can naturally, the game can
go
be taught just
then.
By naturally, Stoney naturally interjecting.
I'm sure
Stone
gets aggravated with these juvenile questions that he has to take over the last 3 years.
Yeah, like Stoney,
the kid doesn't sound bad.
Stoney's has been doing it long enough to know, how to interject his thoughts for people to understand what's happening, the nuance of what's happening in the game or in a certain situation.
Right.
You have to, spoon feed it. I agree with that.
Do you notice? I mean, there were, he asked some four questions in the first four innings. I put it on mute. Enough.
Yeah. Well, just listen to Len and DJ. That's all you need to
do. Well, of course.
That's all you need. All right, coming up, I've got to tell Mike a few other things about the experience.
I like when you tell me a few other things.
Being at the ballpark yesterday was fun.
I want to find out about something.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that. We'll get Luke Pergandy. Poor Luke's Arizona team is out. We'll see how our guy Luke Pergandy's doing coming up next. We'll preview some of the action tonight. Marquette looking to advance. Shaka Smart trying to prove everybody wrong about the fact that he can't coach in this tournament anymore. They're playing in the Sweet 16 against an 11 seed. We got the Purdue-Gonzaga game to talk about. Duke and Houston in action. And then the nightcap should be good between Creighton and Tennessee. So we'll get after all of those. Don't go anywhere, folks. We're coming right back. We're the Odds Couple, presented by Circa Resort and Casino.
You're listening to the Odds Couple
with Carmen DeFalco and Mike North
on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Welcome back inside this week's episode of The Odds Couple, presented by Circa Resort and Casino. Mike and Carmen with you every week, of course, and catch up on demand with the great ESPN Chicago app. You can listen over the air on Saturday afternoon. We'll be on after White Sox baseball as they get back at it on Saturday after the built-in day off today. They'll take on the Tigers in game two of the series, and we will be on the air as soon as that game is over. They're in your home for White Sox baseball. Let's get out to the CarX Tire and Auto Guest Hotline and say hi to one of our favorites and one of our weekly contributors, and we'll see how he's doing now that his Wildcats are out of the NCAA tournament. But from PropSwap.com and the great PropSwap app, it is Luke Pergandy.
Oh, Arizona.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Mike.
How you hanging in, buddy?
Hanging in there. It's yet another Arizona defeat. Happy for Illinois to advance. I was talking to my group chat. I don't think University of Illinois has a national championship.
No.
So that would, rooting for them. Clemson, credit Clemson first off. This is three games in a row where, people thought New Mexico was going to win, that people thought Baylor was going to win, and now people thought Arizona was going to win. So three times in a row, Clemson came out and made teams shoot poorly. Of course, Caleb Love, our star player, was 0 for 9 from three. And apparently there's something about the rims at Crypto because R.J. Davis is the same thing.
You're talking about 40% three-point shooters.
Luke, I said to Karim before, you know, in the last segment, you can't let a guard go 4-for-20 from the field and 0-for-9 from three if you're any kind of head coach. You pull him aside. You go, it's not your day. You feed the ball inside. Work it around a little bit. They should have, I mean, North Carolina, I was in shock that nobody told anybody to tell this kid to stop shooting. I think now I'm looking, they were 2-for-18 from the three in the second half with an All-American center underneath.
North Carolina. Yeah. I mean, and kind of, it was kind of a similar situation. Obviously, Bama looked great, too. And again, this is no discredit to Clemson, but kind of similar stories between Arizona's big man, Umar Ballo, looked great. I mean, he was playing out of his mind. Mm-hmm. And then, but in fairness, Armando Bacot, the North Carolina big man, he missed that dunk.
Yes, like, bad.
2.5 to go. So, you know, Ballo was playing respectively better than Bacot was. So a little bit confusing on why the North Carolina head coach and Arizona's head coach, Tommy Lloyd, didn't go down low a little bit more than, you know, when your guards are clearly having an off night, feed the big men. And neither coach really seemed to do that. It's kind of odd. Decisions there.
Something about those rims, though, out there in that West region. I think Luke's right. I mean, to see a couple of guys like that, and Love is not quite the sharpshooter that R.J. Davis is from three, but still, I mean, you're talking about a 35% three-point shooter. R.J.'s a little over 40%, I think, for his career. To see them go 0-for-18 combined is surprising. Mike's been on Clemson. That's been a fun story here.
Yeah, I've had him. I picked him on the bonus pick last week. I just couldn't believe that they've caught fire.
And they're a long shot now, obviously, and one of the longer ones on the board of the teams left. I mean, UConn, we talked a little bit about it when we started the show, Luke. UConn is basically down to about even money, and Illinois is in deep. I mean, they look like a runaway freight train right now.
Yeah. I mean, totally. They're down to plus 150.
Yeah.
UConn is, I mean, crazy.
And
I get it. The left side of the bracket has been dismantled. There's, you know, no North Carolina, no Arizona. We'll see. Maybe Clemson can knock off Alabama. I think they're about a 9-point favorite against Illinois. UConn is. So I get it. Of course, the Houston-Duke matchup is a giant one tonight. To me, that's the game of the tournament. I understand the logic for making them so good. It's so tough to repeat in any sport, but it seems like they've got the momentum going on their side. So, we root for upsets, so we'll be rooting for Illinois and then Clemson, respectively. So we'll see how it goes, but tons of good games on the other side of the bracket.
I was just going to say, Luke, it's been, like you said, you guys are rooting for the upsets. I mean, it's been pretty chalky for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, you got NC State as an 11 seed in tonight. You're going to have either Bama or Clemson as a 4 or 6 seed in the Final Four, and that's cool. But it's been mostly chalkies. Like, how does that normally affect the kind of traffic that you guys see? Is it, because rating diehards might not like it as much, but ratings have been very good. I think when the blue bloods do well and when the chalk goes on, usually the ratings go up. So how does it affect kind of the volume or the traffic that you guys see if it's mostly chalky?
Yeah, totally. So we're not seeing those giant futures that go viral this year. So a Loyola Chicago, for example, or Florida Gulf Coast, or Texas Tech a few years ago, or last year, of course, Florida Atlantic. Last year we had three of them.
Right.
Three of them in the Final Four. Florida Atlantic, SDSU, and Miami. Like three crazy long shots in the Final Four, which is unprecedented. And I will say this year, we've been selling like $15,000 tickets in Arizona, $12,000 tickets in North Carolina. It seems like the gamblers are like, all right, if this is going to be chalky, let me go really heavy on these blue bloods. We sold a $10,000 ticket on UConn at plus 150 on Thursday night. So it seems like now it's just getting concentrated and people are taking bigger swings at these chalky teams.
Well, Danny Hurley, let's talk about him.
Oh, my
God. He's an arch criminal, okay, out of all the coaches. He could be a bad guy in a Superman movie. He is so intense. He doesn't put his own kid in when they're up 30 until there's a minute 20 left in the game. He wants to cut their throats from the beginning. I think they play defense. They hit you from everywhere. You don't know where to stop them, inside, outside. I can't remember a team being even money. I don't even know what the great UCLA teams were back in the 60s.
It's crazy.
Even money to win it all now. Right. We got a half a tournament to go still.
Totally. I completely agree. So I, at University of Arizona, Danny Hurley's brother was the head coach at ASU.
Yep.
And he's also kind of like a fire and brimstone guy. So I kind of got educated on him before I knew who Danny Hurley was. And, you know, of course, they're both son of the head coach, both Jersey guys. From New Jersey, and yeah, I mean, it's you watched Tommy Lloyd last night. Like, he's more of like the players' coach. Like, he seems like he doesn't get that fiery Arizona
coach.
He's
getting some hits today, Luke.
Danny Hurley will bite your face off.
Yeah,
you know, if you chucked up a three, like, to me, if Caleb Love was continuing to shoot threes on a UConn
team,
he would have got his face ripped off. But as opposed to Danny Hurley, it's super fire and brimstone. So it's really interesting to see the difference. And head coach's mentality. And maybe that's a sign of the times with this whole transfer portal, you know, reasons why Nick Saban retired on the football side of things, where, like, you're just constant, like, literally every day, you're trying to make sure that these kids are happy so they don't leave your program. It's a weird time to be a head coach.
Let me ask you real quick, and I didn't mean to step on you before, but this guy Lloyd, I heard some criticism of this morning. Know nothing about the guy. I heard he's a terrific recruiter, but there were people on the TV. And I know nothing about him. I'm not going to pretend I do. That question is in-game coaching. I know last week was an abomination, but has that been his tag since he's been there a little bit because of the failures?
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think I said from the beginning that this starting five is to go up against anyone. There was so much talent. You had Keyshawn Johnson, who was on the San Diego State National Championship team. You had, of course, Caleb Love, who was on North Carolina National Championship team 2 years prior to that. This kid, Kylan Boswell, is 18 years old. He's playing out of his mind. Like, extremely talented kids, but the in-game stuff and kind of getting the most out of your players, I just don't think is there. So, you know, again, back to, you know, Hurley, like, I think he is doing more with the talent that he has.
Yes.
So it's super interesting for a college coach right now. I totally understand why Nick Saban, you know, kind of chose last year to retire. It's a totally different game now.
Yeah, like Danny's getting the most out of his talent, and they obviously have a lot of talent. It's the guys that can kind of like blend this together. Can you be a good recruiter and then squeeze the absolute most out of them? And Tommy Lloyd's an interesting guy. Look, I mean, he was with Mark Few forever. So, you know, he obviously learned and he came up in a very good place. And, you know, Luke will tell you, I mean, they've had success here a little bit. It's just been the exits in the tournament are disappointing. And when you're Arizona, they're always going to be disappointing if it's not Elite Eight, if it's
There's
not
a reason
Mark Final
Hughes
Four.
Never left. There's a reason he's never left. The king over there, Gonzaga, was nobody.
Right.
When I started following NCAA basketball, for that guy to make nine straight Sweet 16.
I was going to say, they're
mind boggles.
Nine straight.
Mind boggles.
So we'll see if Tommy can. Yeah, we'll see if Tommy can kind of like channel some of that and get better. I don't know if it's. I don't know. I mean, can you get better at those X's and O's? Can you lean on your assistants more? Can you have your team execute better in crunch time? Because they rip off 30 win seasons every year at Arizona, but they, you know, Luke will tell you, they expect a lot more, obviously. So
it'll be interesting in the Big 12 next year. You got to deal with Kansas,
yeah, that's true.
Houston, Baylor,
that's true.
You know, Texas Tech. So. Yeah, they're going to get tested every
week. See how it
goes.
I
still think they can recruit. I mean, every year the recruiting class is top five. He does an excellent job. He's Mr. International, Tommy Lloyd is. He does a really good job of recruiting the international kids. And obviously you look at Jokic and Luka, some of the guys in the NBA, they're doing really well that, of course, are international stars. So I get that model. Like, I do think that model's here to stay.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, he's got to improve as an X's and O's. So. Yeah, happy for Clemson. I think if you would have told me that Clemson would outlast North Carolina in March Madness, I would have gave you 50-1 odds.
Probably, right?
Crazy.
I mean, NC State might. I mean, let's see. You know, I don't know that they're going to win tonight, but that NC State and Clemson could outlast North Carolina. There's no way we would have thought that.
And don't forget Creighton.
Yeah, Creighton's been a good story.
Unbelievable.
That double overtime game. All right, Luke, enjoy the rest of the weekend, buddy. We'll catch up next Friday.
Thanks, guys. You too.
See you, bud. There he is, Luke Pergandy. We'll preview a few of the other, the games that resume, the games that are coming up tonight as the tournament resumes, and we'll get into all the Elite Eight matchups after the end of the night tonight. So we're getting down to the nitty gritty here in the tournament.
I almost had a seizure last night when Steele got hurt.
Oh my gosh!
He grabbed his bed, the back of his leg. Then they said it was a contusion. Now they're going to take an MRI. I said, here's our $8 million manager. Let's see you work your magic if this guy's out for a while.
Right? That's a month injury, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there's no way that's not a month-long injury.
He took himself right out of the game, and the guy's a bulldog.
You could see, exactly. You could see the look on his face, Mike. I mean, we've been around this long enough. You know when a guy knows. I mean,
and I pulled hamstrings. It's no fun, and it takes forever, and you got to stay off him, and he'll get treated well. But I would say this. I don't know anything about this either. But I heard a couple and say they could have picked up. Now, they picked up the Japanese pitcher who's going to be terrific, I think.
Shota.
But they, I guess Montgomery was out there.
You could have signed Montgomery. Now, it would have sent them into the tax, but they could have signed Montgomery.
Signed him. I don't know anything about it, but, you know, it's an emergency guy, especially with Tyon hurt. This thing has blown up a little bit. The over-under is 84.5. I'll have five totals for everybody. I did great last year. Mm-hmm. I got five this year.
All right, we'll talk about that coming up. A little bit more college basketball. Jim Miller's got ponies later on. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back. We're the Odds Couple, presented by Circa Resort and Casino.
This is the Odds Couple with Chicago radio legend Mike North and midday host Carmen DeFalco. The Odds Couple.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Welcome back inside this week's episode of The Odds Couple, presented by Circa Resort and Casino. Mike North, Carmen DeFalco with you every week. And you can catch up on demand anytime, anywhere with the app. Make sure you've got the ESPN Chicago app on your smartphone. We'll be on after White Sox baseball Saturday afternoon if you're driving around listening on AM 1000 or FM 100.3 HD2. You know, going into the break, we were talking about that Cub game last night. It was a fun game with Cubs and Rangers. But the Justin Steele stuff kind of hanging over them right now. They blow a lead in the ninth inning after sort of being gifted a run, I guess you could say, in a sense. Yep. It is not a reviewable play. It was clearly a foul tip at the plate. Jonah Heim, the catcher for the Rangers, was insistent upon that. I guess he's got to know better. If the ump's going to not make that call, you better find the ball and get on it. The Cubs squeezed a run across. It looked like it might be the game winner before they couldn't close it out in the home half of the ninth. But we talked about this last week. We relate it back to the tournament with the finish in the which game was it with the block? Was that was it the Kentucky game? I'm trying to remember the block shot last week where, you know, you're like, why isn't something like that reviewable? And I think the same.
Oh, yes.
You know, Mike, it's like.
I agree.
Why
it
is
was
it?
Kansas.
It was the Kansas game. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
It was the Kansas
that
game.
That happened last week. I can't remember what happened yesterday.
I know. And we're like, well, why wouldn't you be able to challenge that
Ridiculous.
Or review that? You know, and I guess with the foul tip stuff, they're thinking it happens so frequently and it slows down the game. That review would have taken 6 seconds, Mike.
Yes.
It was clearly foul tipped. And I don't know. Maybe it's just that they feel like it would be too much. But sometimes I wonder
replay.
Why things like that aren't reviewable.
I hate replays. Sometimes they'll show you four or five different replays with 2 minutes left in a basketball game. People are just sitting around. The momentum's coming out of the game. That being said, there's certain things at certain points. I think it's gotten out of hand. You're reviewing plays in the third inning. It wasn't meant to be what it's become.
Yeah, maybe.
Where you're checking everything. Did he get over to the first down line or not? Nothing's left to the referees anymore.
Yeah.
Nothing. And it's become almost like it's suffocating, the replay thing, even in the NFL. Oh, and by the way, you got rid of the kickoff return. Now you want to be a hero for bringing it back, okay? Knock it off, okay? And Troy Vincent, knock it off with the rules committee nonsense. The drop tackle, I'm done. I mean, are you kidding me? You got to grab a guy from behind and he's dragging you as a defender down to you because a guy like Derrick Henry's not going to fall on. So sometimes you just can't help it. And some people get hurt, Carm. It's just ridiculous what's going on with our sports. Pizza boxes for baseball bags, people being penalized now for tackling somebody. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's
back to the games.
Back to the games. Yeah, you're right. I'm glad. I'm glad you vented a little bit on it. It was a fun Cub Ranger game. That Ranger team with a scrappy win. We talked about the White Sox a little earlier.
Council couldn't do anything. I waited for him to come out and bat. He's making $8 million a year. What's he going to do if Steele's out?
Well, what are you going to do when Justin Steele gets out? What are you going to do when your closer gives up, you know, the lead in the ninth?
Right.
You know, it's like this
none
is
you
the,
can do.
The tough part about being a manager sometimes, you know.
Well, you know what? He's going to find out.
No, of course.
I got to be honest, folks. I felt bad, and my wife does too. We watch the games. I watch everything. I feel bad for Dave Ross. Sorry. I feel bad for him. And I don't
a little
care
bit
what
of a
Kessel
raw deal?
Does. I think he got a raw deal. Yeah. I don't know what happened. I don't know if something happened. Somebody said something. I don't know. He goes, who would, if some guy came out to my house unannounced to fire me, there'd be a problem. I mean, and then all of a sudden, you don't hear from David Ross anymore. He did a good job last year, and Bellinger's the only superstar they have on that team. You don't have like Atlanta or the Dodgers where you're loaded.
No.
You got one guy, and if he struggles, and he didn't last night, he got
another big hit.
Another big hit. Thank God, because you know what I love about the Cubs? That kid in the past, the Sox would do this. Remember Aaron Rowan, folks?
Oh, yeah.
Who was the guy after Aaron Rowan?
The center.
Brian Anderson?
Brian Anderson, yeah.
Oh, I thought they were talking about Mickey Mantle. The only thing was missing was the number 7. Brian Anderson.
They thought so. They thought so, too.
Right?
Yeah.
And I thought, well, now let's go to the Cubs. You know what the Cubs say? That kid Armstrong, the kid that,
PCA, yeah.
Great defensive player. You can't hit. See you later. Bye-bye. I mean, they don't play favorites, it looks like, Hoyer, you know? I just like the way they run their club. I like the development of the players compared to what we're seeing right now on the South Side.
The best thing on the South Side is the new Campfire Milkshake. And
you're kidding.
I was there with my son yesterday for opening day.
Oh, I bet you the kid was a Gio.
Yeah, I was there with Gio. He did it, and I took a sip, and I got to say, it was pretty spectacular, Mike.
Really?
Now, yeah, it was pretty good. Now,
When I was a kid, we were lucky to get a milkshake, let alone with marshmallows, chocolate chips,
exactly.
And all this stuff.
Mike, now brace yourself. It's a $17 milkshake. Okay.
Get out.
It's $17. And
what is there like a White Sox 2005 ring at the
you
bottom?
You do get to keep the cup in which it is served. So you do have that going for you. But Gio even joked with Mr. Brooks Boyer himself. He goes, boy, it's $17 for a milkshake. Brooks stopped by the suite, and we got a chuckle out of that.
Did you wish him well for me?
I did.
And did Brooks wish you me well?
He did. Of course he
God
did.
Bless.
You know.
Oh, yes. We've been friends for 3 decades.
Forever. I know Brooksy forever. But
we're sick of each other.
I tell you, it was the biggest buzz around the ballpark pregame, and they sold out of these. I mean, everybody was looking to get the new Campfire Milkshake. It was spectacular. So
all right,
that's the best thing right now. I'll
well, you know it. What? Good for them because they tried it. They tried different things every year. I just hope that it equates on down to the field. But I heard about it, and I saw it in the paper. I said, that's an odd thing, but I guess it's got marshmallows in it and everything else.
It's quite good.
And by the way, Gio is heck of a pitcher, folks. Carm knows I've been judging talent for 6 years.
Forever.
Let me ask you something, Carm. Carm showed me. We were at a restaurant. Carm says to me, here's my son, and the kid can pitch, folks. I looked at it for, 10 seconds?
Yeah.
I said, he's got to follow through more. Yeah. And bend his legs more, right?
Get that finish more, you know.
And then you said to me, well, that's what the coach is saying. Yeah. I only had to see 10 seconds of it. He's going to be terrific.
He likes to pitch. He does. He likes to pitch. He doesn't throw that hard, but he can throw strikes,
so
that's
good.
He's got the Frank Tanana stuff. So last week I gave out a couple of my big picture MLB plays. I told you O's over 90.5, Rangers under 89.5. Last year I gave this prop out on the Odds Couple. We won this one, and it was like 8-1. It was Spencer Strider to lead MLB in K's. This year I'm betting it again, although it's not 8-1, folks. It's almost like even money. Spencer Strider's going to have 300 strikeouts this year if he stays healthy. But
and especially in this league, day and age.
I know.
Swing freely, for God's sake.
I've got him at +155 to lead MLB this year. Tarik Skubal, who looked very good on the South Side yesterday, is a little dark horse AL Cy Young candidate at 10-1, and then Zach Gallen was my little dark horse NL Cy Young that I sprinkled some on at 12-1. Any other futures or like big picture MLB stuff you wanted to give out real quick,
first
Mike?
First of all, I want to credit ESPN for miking up the third baseman Young.
How great was that?
Oh my God!
And then he says, "Yeah, I got a ground ball for you guys." That was fantastic.
The guys, he had two in a row, two grounders in a row. While he's talking to the guys upstairs, one of my favorite guys, Eduardo Perez, does a good job.
Yeah,
and While the ground ball's coming, he goes, ah, here we go. Here comes one for me, guys.
It was awesome.
Okay, here's another one for me, guys. All right, I'll talk to you guys. What a guy.
It was great.
It was great baseball. I really enjoyed it. I mean, if there would have been an error, I don't know what happens. I mean, if the ball goes through his legs
can
or something,
imagine?
Do they continue the interview?
Oh, it's so funny.
I mean, but it's absolutely outstanding.
It's so
and
funny.
I think that's, you know, that's one of the great, great things that it actually, it doesn't happen often where you had two plays in a row go to the guy.
So great.
Yep.
Any win totals you wanted to give out
yes.
for MLB? Go ahead.
I'm ready to go, folks. Now, I'm going to give two main ones out, but these are some win totals that I spent a lot of time on. Last year, I was 2-0. Now, BB always takes the over Cubs.
Okay. I like over Cubs this year, to be honest.
So
I think they're
going
to get to 86 or 87.
Well, what I got it at from my guy was 84 and a half.
Okay, I like the over there.
BB always puts her major money on that one. I took the Angels under 72 and a half. Now, they got their brains beaten, but granted by the Baltimore Orioles.
Right.
But I'm trying to figure out, if you won 73 games, and you know Trout's easily, even though he hit a homer yesterday, going to be on the DL at least for 2 weeks.
Oh, poor Trout.
Okay, and Shohei is gone. He may be at Leavenworth by the time we're done. Who knows? But wait. Yeah, they've really buried that.
Oh, my God.
All the sponsors got out and said, shut up.
Oh, my God.
You know, FanDuel, this duel, that duel. Don't push this. Anyway, how do you lose Shohei? You know Trout's going to spend a couple weeks on the DL. Rendon's going to suck. You got Ron Washington, who could fall off the wagon at any time because he's in Southern California. He has his issues. Under 72 and a half, only one half a game less, Carm.
Yeah.
I took the under Angels.
Probably
those
not a,
are my
probably
two
not
right
a bad
now.
Call. I like it. Two good
right?
calls. There you go. Sounds
my God,
good.
I watched them yesterday. I know, look, don't let it go. The Cardinals got beat up by the Dodgers.
Right.
Okay. So, I mean, those are the two main ones.
Okay.
I got three more for everybody. I got Cubs over 84 and a half. That's BB's. Angels under 72 and a half. I'll give one more.
All right, go ahead.
Tigers over 81.
Yeah, I think that's a good play, too.
I think they're
going to win that division. I do.
Well, you know, Bias has got to pretend he could play it.
Right, that's true.
And that guy has been just a miserable failure for Detroit. But the rest of the team and the pitching team, they got a pretty good bullpen, too.
Yeah, and they've got some good young talent on that team. All right, coming up next, we'll get some ponies with Jim Miller. We'll give you some best plays. I got a play for everybody in the big game of the night, the Purdue-Gonzaga game. We'll talk about that. We're coming right back. We are the Odds Couple on ESPN Chicago.
This is The Odds Couple with Carmen DeFalco and Mike North on ESPN 1000.
Welcome back inside this week's episode of The Odds Couple presented by Circa Resort and Casino. We're entering the home stretch. It's time to get some expert plays, some handicapping from one of the best in the business. He is the expert handicapper at Hawthorne Racecourse, where there is racing all weekend long. And he joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto Guest Hotline. The one and only Jim Miller.
Jimmy!
That was a good
one. Think about that, Carm. That's what you said, racing all weekend long. If you're sitting there on Easter Sunday, you're done with your Easter egg hunt, you've had that dinner or a late lunch, your belly is full, you can bet on races at Hawthorne. We're one of four thoroughbred tracks running on Easter Sunday.
Nice.
We have a good card. The weather looks good. And when you have the mobile app, you can bet on the mobile app. So if you're at a family gathering or something, you can wager right there. If you want to come out to the track, you can do that too. But yeah, four thoroughbred tracks in the country racing Sunday, and we're one of them.
That's great to hear. Plus, the book will be open so people can watch the college hoops. And I think I have this right. You can now, we know if you're doing this legal, if you're using your bookmaker, you can bet whatever you want. If you're doing it on the apps, you can't bet the state schools, but
right.
Illinois, you can bet on Illinois if you're at the brick and mortar book at Hawthorne. Is that right, Jim?
That is correct.
Okay.
And that's a key thing. And that's very important because the deeper they get in the tournament, you really want to be able to do that. Remember that, guys, a couple years ago, it was the first game on a Saturday when it was Loyola against Illinois, and everybody in Illinois was sitting there twiddling their fingers because they couldn't bet the game on the app, and they were watching it. But yes, at the brick and mortar, you can do so. And I'll tell you, we had a great crowd here last weekend for people watching racing, watching hoops, of course, a full slate of MLB action, too. So there is a lot going on.
Is there a set rule that if a driver gambles, can a driver gamble on himself? Can a driver go to the book? You know, and not have ramifications, sort of like Ohtani doesn't have ramifications for betting $4.5 million on an account. Can the driver, is the driver in trouble? Is there an Illinois type of rule for harness racing and racing in general? How does that work, Jimmy?
So here's the thing that's a little different, Mike. For thoroughbreds and harness, there are different rules. So on the thoroughbred end, a jockey cannot wager on a race by any means. If they're in it, they're not in it, whatever. They cannot do so.
Even if
on
he can't harness, speak English and he has an interpreter?
It doesn't matter. Okay, on the harness end of things, for many years, there used to be a wagering window in the driver's room where they were able to go out there and make wagers. And in recent years, that has changed, at least here at Hawthorne. We removed that window from the driver's room about 10 years ago. But that rule is not set in harness end. So on the thoroughbred end, and we're in the thoroughbred meet right now, you cannot, if you're, especially if you're riding the race, but if you're a licensed jock, you cannot wager on thoroughbred races. So that's something that is very important to make note.
Are you saying to me that Stanley Banks, Dave McGee, some of the all-time greats had their own window?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, my God.
I'm not
going
to lie. That's
chicanery.
That's what the rule was, that they were able to do so for years.
That is pretty wild. Yeah.
Yep.
That's interesting to hear that, you know, the differences
but
between the two.
Racing's definitely changed, and I'll tell you guys, especially with the introduction of the federal racing legislation on the thoroughbred end, it really has tightened things up. It's made an even playing field for everybody, and it has made a big difference.
All right, so where are we wagering this weekend for everybody, Jimmy?
All right, there's 3 100-point derby preps on Saturday, so you want to focus on that. The winner's going to get out of these maybe, and I say maybe, and I'll explain it in a minute. So first off, at Maidan, which is the UAE Derby in Dubai, is race number 5, Bet the 5 Forever Young. This is a Japanese racehorse that's 4 for 4 lifetime. Then go to Gulfstream Park, race 14, Bet the 2 Hades, and we'll bet all these across the board. We'll bet the 2 Hades across the board who could steal the Florida Derby. Now, then you go to Oaklawn Park. The Arkansas Derby is race 12 on Saturday. The 7-horse Muth is who we're going to bet across the board. But, guys, this is one of those Baffert horses who not only can take the money in the race, he could take points away from others. But Bob Baffert's not sending a horse somewhere now unless he thinks he's going to win. And I do think Muth will win the Arkansas Derby.
Okay, so a race in Dubai, and this is still a derby prep. They get points for this in Dubai.
They get 100 points for this, yes.
Okay, and that's race 5, and it's the 5-horse you said?
Yep, the 5-horse.
Okay, the 5-horse across the board, Forever Young. Then at Gulfstream, race 14, the 2-horse across the board. And then the Arkansas Derby at Oaklawn Park on Saturday, race 12, the 7-horse across the board.
That's right, boys. And we'll see if we can make some money. Get ready for Easter racing Sunday at Hawthorne.
Sounds great. Thanks, Jimmy. Have a wonderful weekend.
All right, you got it, guys. Good luck.
Jimmy!
There's our guy, Jim Miller, with a little action for you this weekend. Some big.
How about that?
Races.
They had a window in the damn stall. And look, it's harness racing.
Love it.
I mean, the chicanery. I mean, I know we're still counting votes in Chicago for some certain elections, but this is just, that's just as crazy.
Incredible.
Isn't it?
It is. Let's wrap up here. Before we get to best plays, just a couple of pointers for tonight's action as the tournament resumes. The Creighton-Tennessee game should be fun. That's the last one of the night. Tennessee, a 2.5-point favorite. Of these two teams, one is ranked inside the top 25 in both offensive and defensive efficiency, and it's not number 2 Tennessee, it's number 3 Creighton. Vols aren't too far behind, though. They've got one of the best defenses in the country. That should be a fun one tonight, and we'll see if Creighton can advance, but both those teams earning their spot to play in the regional final this weekend. Duke and Houston should be a good one, I think, too, Mike. Houston continues to just impress me. Stingiest defense in the country.
Right.
134.5 is the total in that game. Houston's lost 2 games since February 1st.
Leaning the under on that one.
I am too. The way Houston guards.
Yeah. Right? And, you know, Duke lives still. I mean, they're a pretty good team. Don't get me wrong, folks. They got some outstanding talent. They like the outside jumper still. They still live and die by that. And if they're cold, especially if these guys come out and guard, like they're capable, look out.
And yeah, Houston leads the country in opponents' points per game and opponents' field goal percentage. So
the game
I think you're
of the
right.
Night's Purdue.
That is, and I got a play on that one.
I love when you have a play on the game of the night.
Let's roll into the best plays. Here we go. All right, Purdue-Gonzaga, that's the game of the night, obviously. We're going to look at the total here. We're going to focus on that. You can find it at 154 or 154.5. We'll cap this at that 154.5 for our grading purposes. But let's play the over. 6 of the Boilers' last 9 have gone over the total. 8 of the Zags' last 10 have gone over the total. We know how incredibly dominant both these teams can be on offense. Purdue won and covered against the Zags back in November in Maui, but things are much different now, and I think the Zags will make more of their threes. They had a miserable shooting night that day. When they do make their threes, they're usually in the game. All of Gonzaga's losses this year have come when they shoot below 30% from distance. But I think it'll be better than that first matchup in November. I expect points and scoring. So let's play over 154, 154 and a half maybe at the high end of that in Purdue-Gonzaga tonight.
Yeah. It's all about discipline, folks. I didn't see anything in tonight's games that really stuck out except one thing, and I'm just giving it a lean. I'll put couch change on it. I'm going to take the under in the Duke game.
Okay.
But that's a lean. Now, Carm, you got another pick.
That's it for me. Go ahead.
I'm going to go through my the five picks one more time
okay. That
I have for everybody real quick here because I want everybody to know that we've been on fire when it comes to these seasonal picks. Cubs over 84.5. Angels under 72.5.
Nice.
Detroit over 81. I'm adding two more. Now, I went 2-0 last year, 3-1 the last 2 years, but this is for less money. The three games I gave you, like, for three units, these could be for one unit. Cardinals over 84.5, and my surprise team this year. The Orioles, maybe in 2 years. We'll see. They've drafted enough high. We'll see. The Pittsburgh Pirates over 76 are my
all
surprise
right.
team.
That's a sneaky good little play.
No,
right
nobody talk because the Pirates. You just look at you. They're never going to reach
a sneaky,
the total.
Good little play there. I like.
Yeah,
it.
And they're in a division that's winnable this year, folks.
Absolutely, that division is very winnable.
Yep.
Great stuff, Mikey. Thanks to Eric Ostrowski, our executive producer. Thanks to Jim Miller and Luke Pergandy. And most importantly, thank you everybody for listening. Enjoy the rest of the hoops this weekend. Baseball's back. It's great. Next week we could spend a little time talking about some of the early looks at NFL win totals as we've got those, and we'll be able to preview the Final Four next Friday when we reconvene. But until then, everybody have a great weekend. Happy Easter. Mikey, we'll see everybody again next Friday.
So long, everybody.
This is The Odds Couple with Carmen DeFalco and Mike North on ESPN 1000.